Welcome to the I Am African podcast, where excellence isn't just inspired, but demanded. I believe in asking the difficult questions, starting the uncomfortable conversations, proposing outside-the-box solutions, and of course, shaking tables. No, breaking tables, all while being African. I am your host, Vera Ezimora. Hey everyone, good afternoon, and welcome to the 19th episode of I Am African Podcast. I'm here by myself today, and it's going to be an interesting show ahead. But first of all, I would like to ask you how you're doing, how you're staying safe. Rona is still here, and the numbers are going up for us, as they are in lots of places. So everything is once again up there. I don't know where we're going. I don't know what's coming next, but we're here and we're healthy and we're safe, and I hope the same for you. All right. I have two cities to give a shout out to. Today is La Vista, Nebraska, and Rochester, Minnesota. Thank you everyone for listening from these two cities and all the cities really that you're listening from. I thank you so very much. I also have a comment today to read to you. Today's comment comes from Moses, and this is on episode 18. Like I said, today is 19, so 18 is what we had last time with Ruth Marimore, where we talked about emotional resilience. That was a powerful episode, if I do say so myself. So this is the review from Moses. It says, Vera, there's an exclamation mark, so I have to read it like that. Vera, episode 18 on emotional resilience is all shades of interesting. You gotta love Ruth Marimore. The woman has 9 lives and has attained that dangerous level of tranquility where she doesn't need external validation on anything. Please bring her back quickly so we can hear about the agnostic side of her. The podcast is gaining momentum of its own with the quality of guests you are bringing. Well done, Vera. Thank you so much, Moses. Thank you. And I know he mentioned the agnostic side of Ruth, but it's actually the atheist side. But that's okay. We'll clarify when Ruth comes back. So thank you, Moses, for your review. And to everyone listening, please, if I have not shamelessly asked enough, I am doing so again. Please leave me a review on Apple Podcasts. And I think Spotify does it, but I don't know. I haven't tried. And the thing is, when you leave us this reviews, when you leave reviews on podcasts, we don't get notified. Like, I have to go in there and check to see if there is a review. I have no power over it. So if you, for example, leave a review, because I've heard that from some people saying they left a review and it's not showing up, I have nothing to do with that. I don't have any power. Apple does their thing, okay? So please do rate the podcast and do review the podcast. Thank you. I do have an announcement that I want to make, but I'm going to save it to the end of the podcast. All right. Today's episode, I want to talk about women and if divorced women can be happy. This is a special request episode. What that means is somebody specially reached out to me and said, hey, can you talk about this? So I was like, sure. And if you guys ever have any ideas on things to talk about or guests to bring on the show, I know I announce that at the end of every episode during the outro, but you've probably heard it so many times that you've become deaf to it. So let me say it out now. If you do ever have ideas for topics to talk about or guests to bring on, please let me know. Send me an email, reach out through social media, whichever way is most convenient for you. Okay. All right. Thank you very much. So that's what I'm going to be talking about. And of course, as a divorced person myself, I am in the best position to talk about this. I have true life experience. All right. So now, for those who didn't know or need a refresher course on my life, I am divorced. My divorce became final in 2019, last year. I separated. I walked out of my marriage in December 2017. I filed for divorce in February 2019. So it took me over a year to actually file the divorce. So after that, my divorce became final in 2019, somewhere in October, November. I can't say which month exactly, but one of them, my divorce became final. That's not the typical time it takes here. Usually it would take about a year and a half. Mine was just special. I had this divine favor. It went really fast. But that's not a typical time. So if you are going through divorce, don't necessarily expect it to be done that quickly. Okay? All right. And if you're interested in, I don't want to go into the details of how I became divorced or why I walked out of my marriage, because I've done that so many times. But I did write about it in detail on the blog. So if you're interested, I will leave the link in the show notes, how my marriage ended. So you can check that out and see for yourself. All right. So this is what I'm going to say about divorce, right? At least in my experience and based on the people that I have come to know, most people do not get married in hopes of divorce. There are people who do that, but that's a special situation. You know, that's not normal. Like, let's say someone who's getting married for papers or getting married for whatever dubious reason, right? But that's not the norm. For most of us, men and women, we don't get married to get divorced, you know? You've found someone that is supposed to be your life partner. You guys are going to be doing the life thing forever. So you're not doing it to get divorced. But sometimes shit happens and you find yourself in a place you didn't think you'd ever be. Okay? So divorce happens. Okay. Now, that being said, since I went public with my divorce story, with my marriage ending, I have connected to so many people, men and women, who have reached out through email or direct message, whatever the case may be, to say either they're going through divorce right now or they're thinking about divorce, or they don't even want the divorce and they're fighting to stay married. And some people are confused about what to do. You know, they're in that place where it's like, well, this isn't working out, but I don't know what to do or how to go about whatever it is. Some people have already gone through it and are now on the other side. Some people are happily married and are just reaching out to say, hey, girl, hang in there. You got this. Whatever the case might be. But most of the people who have reached out to me are people who are having or had some kind of marital issues. All right. And I'm saying this to say that I am not a substitute for medical help, right? I cannot provide you psychotherapy, nor should my words be taken as substitute for psychotherapy. I'm not here to provide you legal counseling either. But if you do need to talk, if you're looking for someone to talk to, whether it's via email or you want to call or you want to just send a message on social media, whatever, again, whatever is most convenient for you, if you're looking for a person to talk, maybe you don't even want my advice. Maybe you just want someone to vent to. Maybe you just want listening ears of somebody who understands your plight. I'm here. I'm available. So if you need to talk, okay, I'm here. You won't be the first one, trust. So please, feel free to reach out. Now, divorce happens for so many reasons. Like, the reasons, there's a laundry list of them, right? It could be commitment issues, it could be infidelity, it could be domestic violence, financial problems, arguments, or, you know, what they call irreconcilable differences, family or in-law involvement, lack of sex or intimacy, getting married too early, getting married for the wrong reasons, physical appearances, like the person has suddenly gained a lot of weight or lost a lot of weight, lack of communication. I mean, there is so much, right? In my divorce, the main reasons why I walked out of my marriage, and I'll mention them in the order in which they happened, okay? For me, it was first a lack of communication. It was financial problems. It was family and in-law involvement. And I want to be clear on this one because I know that my in-laws or my former in-laws may listen to this or do listen to this, not may, do listen to this. So I want to be clear that when I say in-law involvement. I'm talking about one in-law, and that would be the boy's mother. That's it. Just one in-law. Not his father or his brothers. Not them. Just one in-law. I had a lack of sexual intimacy, domestic violence. And then finally, and this one is not common, but it does happen, juju. Again, I won't go into details, but you can read the whole story on the blog. As a storyteller, especially a storyteller of personal stories, right? Everything, every content I'm creating around storytelling, every storytelling content that I'm creating, the personal ones are, as to be expected, things that apply to me in the moment, okay? So, like, when I was a student, I wrote about school sometimes, right? When I was pregnant, or after I had the baby, rather, I wrote about motherhood and those early times. I still write about motherhood, but I'm almost 5 years into it, so it's not the way it was when I first started and I was finding out a lot of things about motherhood, you know? So the point I'm trying to make is, naturally, as I have gone through this now, divorce, that a lot of things I might talk about, whether it's on the podcast or write about on the blog, might relate to marriage and or divorce. It does not mean that I'm encouraging you to get divorced. That's not the purpose of this. The thing is, the most listened to episode on this podcast is the first one, episode one, for this divorce I prayed. You might be saying maybe it's the most listened to one because it's the oldest, but no, it's not. And the reason I know that is now we're 19 episodes in, so the numbers are everywhere. There are some much older episodes that don't get that much traction. They're not getting as much traction as some newer ones. So it depends on what the topic is. And what people are listening to or gravitating towards lets me know what people are dealing with or wanting to know more of. Also, what I get a lot of feedback on. There are reviews on Apple, for example, but those reviews are not anything compared to the ones that come in privately to me through email or direct messages. These people are more personal in there. They are more open and they are telling me, this spoke to me because that. I don't share those because those are personal conversations. I don't think that they're sending that to me for me to share to the world. I'm like, hey, look, this person says, so, you know, I don't share those. So I've had some friends, male friends especially, who are asking me, well, are you talking about women finding happiness through divorce? Are you like trying to rally all the women to leave their husbands? No, I'm not. I absolutely am not. I don't even like to advise people to get a divorce because the person in the marriage is the only one. Or let me say the people in the marriage, the two people in the marriage are the only ones who are wearing the shoes and know where it pinches them the most. Okay. So I share my experience on marriage and divorce because I know that you're listening. I know that the information is helpful and even encouraging to some of you. And if you have more questions, I am more than happy to answer. I literally have a nickname, the Divorce Fairy, okay? I don't give legal advice. Again, like I said before, I'm working on having an actual attorney, family law attorney on the podcast to talk about this, but that's for a future date. For now, if you're looking for advice from a human being that you know, not just somebody on the internet who wrote something, not just some random person. This is Vera, the girl whose voice you hear and you read her words on the blog and you can actually talk to her. And yeah, I can be that person to you. Okay. So the point of this, as I was saying, isn't to rally women to leave their husbands. I don't get a commission if you leave your husband. Now, if I did, maybe I would feel differently. I don't get a commission for every divorce that happens or for every marriage a woman decides to walk out on. But having been married and having been divorced and being now a single mom puts me in a unique position, okay? I can tell you without a shadow of doubt that this is what worked for me. This is why I did what I did. This is what I was thinking when I made this and that decision. And now I have a special request episode that wants to talk about if a divorced woman can be happy. So here we are. I would advise to you, although this episode is for women because it's asking if women can be happy and divorced, it applies to men, really. It applies to men too. So I would say, first of all, that you should try everything that you can to save your marriage. If your marriage can be salvageable, do anything and everything to salvage your marriage. Okay, wait, let me not say anything and everything because that makes it really vague. But do things within the law, things that don't take away your sanity, that don't take away your peace of mind to salvage your marriage, okay? Go to counseling, for example. Try dating again, dating each other, I mean. Pray about your, I don't know how spiritual you are, but if you are, pray for your marriage, you know, like have an open communication. Communication is a big one, which I know people say every time you say, what do you want in a partner? People say communication, but the reality is some people don't know how to communicate. You know, they say they want communication and they think that they're communicating, but some people do not know how to communicate. When they're saying ABC, what they're really saying is XYZ. And then you're hearing ABC and you're reacting to ABC and they're mad that you're not reacting to what they're thinking. You're mad, you're reacting to what they're saying. But let's not, we're not going to go into communication today. I'm just trying to tell you that have an open communication. Have a dialogue with your partner. When you ask your partner questions, listen for the answers. Don't ask it and then before they've responded, you are already planning your next question or what you're going to say in response to what they're going to say to you. But again, I think I'm going into communication, so I'm going to stop right there. Do anything, almost anything, to salvage your marriage, okay? Think about everyone. The decision to be divorced should not come easily. I've said this before, maybe on the blog, on the podcast, or both. If you easily decide that you want to be divorced, then maybe you shouldn't have been married in the first place. It should not be a decision that comes to you so easily, okay, and mindlessly. You should think about it and agonize over it before you eventually come to the decision that, you know what, divorce is the only way out. Think about everyone who will be affected by your decision. You, the person that you're married to, your family, your children, if you have any, whether you decide to stay or walk away, there will be collateral damage, right? So think about that. Who's going to get affected by your decision to leave or to stay? Your family, you know, your in-laws, your assets, your friends, like everything gets affected by divorce, okay? Divorce is a lot of things. What it isn't is easy. Okay. It's expensive. It's time consuming. It's emotionally and mentally taxing. Like you will find many, many, many moments of frustration. There will be moments where you bust out crying because who wants to do this? You know, I don't know. I've never met a person who is like, I just can't wait till I get divorced. I can't wait to, you know, I've never met someone who feels that way. So it's not easy, and which is why the decision to do so should never come so easily. For some people, they don't even want to get divorced. They might be in the process of getting divorced, but they don't want to be divorced. And there are many reasons why a person might not want to be divorced. It might be because you still love your spouse. You're like, you're very much in love with your spouse. Maybe you believe that your issues are resolvable, meanwhile, but your partner feels otherwise. Maybe you're afraid of being alone. And that's okay. Maybe you're afraid of starting over. Maybe you're looking at yourself, especially as a woman, and especially as a woman of African descent, like, who's going to want me now? You know, I've already been somebody's wife before. I've maybe had a child or a couple of kids. You know, I'm X years old. These are thoughts that will go through your head. And that's okay. The thoughts are valid. You're allowed to think those thoughts. It doesn't make them true, but it's understandable that you think those things, okay? And maybe, even for some of you, maybe you're the reason why the divorce is happening. You know, that's just the truth of the matter. Maybe you had an affair. Maybe you did something to your husband that he says is simply unforgivable. Maybe, because that is a possibility. So that might be reasons why you don't want the divorce. But it doesn't mean the other person doesn't want it. And you not wanting it does not make a judge not grant it. You know, that's not a reason to not grant divorce. Because you can't force people to be married to you. In my case, I needed the divorce. I didn't necessarily want it, but I needed to have it because I knew that I was in a situation I just had to get out of. I didn't see any other option. It was either stay married and be miserable for the rest of my life or get out and get my peace of mind back. And so I chose to get out. Okay? Now, I've mentioned things that get affected or people that get affected because of divorce. It's not all doom and gloom, right? There are some benefits to divorce. And let me use myself again here as an example. Since my divorce, good things that have happened to me are I have my peace of mind back. This I always mention this as the first thing. If somebody asks me how it's been being divorced, this is usually the first thing I mention, my peace of mind, because it's priceless and you don't know how important it is or what it means to you until you don't have it anymore. So for me, my peace of mind, I have my peace of mind back. I sleep better at night. The first night I slept like a baby was the night my ex-husband was out of the house. That was the first night I slept like a baby. So if that says anything, I don't know if that says anything. In fact, I'm pretty sure it says something about me sleeping better at night. I no longer toss and turn. I go to bed and I wake up in the morning. I'm happier. And this is coming from someone who's already generally happy. Like, I'm generally a happy person. But now I'm even happier, okay? And I'm gonna talk a little bit about happiness later, all right? I'm a lot more creative since I left my marriage. I love myself a lot more. It's not that I hated myself. It's not that I had a low self-esteem. It's just that walking away, it gave me the time and the energy to refocus on myself, because there's something marriage does. You find yourself perpetually thinking about somebody else, trying to make somebody else's life better, you know? Trying to see, how do I fit in this person's life to make them better? And it comes from even little nuances like, what are we going to eat for dinner? You know, I don't know if you've heard that saying that the food way husband no like, wife no the cooker. For those who don't speak Igbo, it means that the food your husband doesn't like to eat, a wife will most likely not cook it. The wife will not cook the food because why are you cooking it? That's just a little, tiny little example. And again, that's not to say marriage is bad, but it is a sacrifice. It's an ongoing sacrifice because as a wife, you might want to cook, I don't know, let's say you want to cook okra soup, okay? And you're like, oh, I can't cook okra soup because, you know, my husband doesn't like it. So why? I'm not even going to bother. I'm just going to cook egusi soup because that's what he likes. So I'm going to cook that. It's a tiny little example. So for me, being able to love myself more, have more time for myself, get to know Vera again. Like, girl, what do you even like? Because you get so used to living according to somebody else's preferences that you forget what you yourself like. And it's not on purpose. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you've lost yourself in the marriage, although it can be that sometimes. But that's just an example, you know? So for me, getting to put my focus back on myself, I don't have the words to tell you what that feels like. Like, I just can't. Since leaving my marriage, I've switched jobs. I have a much better job. I make a lot more money from my job. I've been able to pay off all my debt. I do not owe anyone a penny. If anyone comes to you and tells you I'm owing them, it's a damn lie. I do not owe anyone a penny. And here's the thing about that. When I was married, all my debt were marriage incurred. Like, the only reason I had that debt was because I was married. And I won't go into the details of finances, but remember I told you that one of the reasons why I walked out of my marriage was financial problems. So this is what I meant, basically. Every debt that I had was because I was married, was because of the person I was married to. So being out of my marriage, I was able to pay off all my debt, and you know, that feels great. Being out of my marriage has made me a much better mom. How? Because I'm a much better Vera. I'm a much better version of Vera. you can't pour from an empty cup. Okay, so if I'm in my feelings all the time, I'm stressed out, I'm unhappy, what kind of mom do you think that makes me? What kind of friend does that make me? So just being out of my marriage, because I'm a better person, automatically I've become a much better mom to my child. And I have never, ever looked back and wished I didn't walk away. I am so happy that my child does not get to witness that chaos. She was 2 years old when I walked away. So she doesn't remember those things. And I'm so happy that she doesn't. When I tell you how happy I am that my daughter doesn't have to experience that. Because, you know, these kids know, you know. At first, they might be too young, but eventually they know. And you can use yourself as an example. A lot of us grew up in homes where dad and mom were always fighting. Or even if they weren't fighting, they didn't love each other. Like, you could tell that, okay, these two people don't like each other. They're just here and they answer the same last name. And maybe they sleep in the same bed, but you don't see any love. And that's not what I wanted my child to witness. I didn't want her to normalize chaos. I didn't want her to normalize lack of love between husband and wife. I didn't want that for her, you know? So I'm so glad that I walked away. And it's improved my relationship with my girls, with Uju and Fumi. Our relationship is tighter. It's more intimate. My relationship with my family is stronger, is deeper. I have much more appreciation for my family. It's just good things all around. I have a better understanding of myself. I've had time to be alone. I've had time to process. I've had time to just love myself and love on myself. And it's felt really good. I have a better relationship with God. I pray differently. I believe differently. I hope differently. And that has been amazing. I am a lot more active in church. Before, I just went to church. And the irony is that my whole thing was, oh, you know, I had a spouse and a child. I can't go to church. Where's the time to be active, you know, in church when I've got a little kid and a spouse? But now that I don't have a spouse, I still have a little kid, but I've become more active in church. Isn't that amazing how that happened? I have become one of the media directors in church, and I love it. I absolutely love it. I'm just freer. You know, I am liberated. And those are just some of the benefits that I have enjoyed since walking away from my marriage. I would say this to you, to the woman who's listening, who is troubled about divorce and wondering what life is like after divorce. I would say you should think about the times you faced what you thought was your biggest challenge, right? Like, at that time you were just like, this is gonna be the death of me. And those things have passed. And now you can look back and be like, why did I make a mountain out of a molehill? I'm not saying that divorce is a molehill, okay? But I'm telling you that it doesn't have to be the mountain you imagine it to be. The thing is, it will pass. It's going to take time. It's going to cost money. You will shed a lot of tears, but eventually it will pass. It has to pass. It will be difficult starting life afresh. But guess what? You will do it. It'll be a thing you've crossed off your list. Like, okay, I did that. It's not going to be easy, but it's not impossible. A lot of us women in our culture, you know, our culture stigmatizes divorce, especially if you're a woman. Once you're divorced, it's almost like you failed at life, right? Like, that's how they treat you. You know, anything you say, they'll say, this one that could not even hold her marriage together, or this one that could not even stay in her husband's house. You know, the same thing, I've not been on the receiving end of these words, but I can tell you, if somebody did say that to me, it would not mean a damn thing to me. First of all, the responsibility of holding a home together should never fall on one person, unless that's the one person in the home. If there is a husband and wife in the home, then husband and wife should be responsible for holding that home together, you know? And you can't even hold a person who does not want to be held. Even if the responsibility was only on the wife, right? You can only hold yourself. At the end of the day, you can't force anyone to be held if he does not want to be held. So don't think of those things, please. And if you're thinking about, oh, who's going to want me now? Trust me, they're out there. I bet you that there are men who already want you, but they haven't said it. As I came to find out, like, I was still married when men were coming out of the woodworks. But I would say don't leave your marriage for another man. Okay. When I left my marriage, I didn't know any man who was wanted. You know, if that was the furthest thing from my mind, you know, like, man, please get me out of this. These were the famous words I told my attorney all the time. I was like, please just get me out of this, please. I just want out. When is this going to be done? Get me out. I could not wait to hear that my divorce was final. And the day she said it was, I hugged her. I kept asking her, so it's done? And she's like, yeah. I'm like, and I was like, you mean it's done? Like, it's done, done. Like, I don't ever have to come back to this court. This is done. I'm divorced. I kept asking her. She's like, yes, Vera, it's done. Oh my goodness. I don't even know if I smiled that much the day I got married. I was just like, I'm out. It's done. Wow. Okay. All right. So anyway, our culture stigmatizes divorced women. Please don't let that affect you. It's not about you. The people who say these things, these are not people you need in your life. Okay. The people who feel like as a divorced woman is like, oh my God, it's taboo. Our culture would rather you stay there and suffer, okay? Because we celebrate marriage, our culture. We celebrate marriage based on longevity, not on quality. You know, it's all about how long, which is why somebody can post on social media, oh my God, loved up with my boo, hashtag 20 years together. And people are like, oh my God, hashtag relationship goals. Listen. 10 years, 20 years, 100 years of marriage has nothing to do with the quality of the marriage, okay? But we do celebrate longevity. You know, the longer you've been married, it's like you're a good woman. You know, you're strong. You're able to hold a family down. Meanwhile, you might be going to bed crying every night. You might be suffering. You might be literally dying in your marriage. But that doesn't matter. What matters is you are still married. You are still Mrs. Somebody. Don't let that be you. Whether you believe in creation or evolution, please understand that you have your own life to live. And you know, in life, this is not a dress rehearsal. We don't get to do this all over again. We only have this one shot to get this done. So don't let your life be all about suffering. Marriage should not be suffering. There is no way that God created marriage. Or let's say you don't even believe in God. There is no way that anybody should go into marriage and suffer. That cannot be your life. That cannot be the legacy that you leave behind. You know, like, oh, there lies whoever. She suffered X amount of years. And like, no. There is no honor in suffering, okay? You don't get any badge for suffering. You don't get any badge for being married for X amount of years and suffering the whole time. No badge, no honor, no celebration, none. If you think you're doing somebody a favor, trust me, you're not. So consider yourself, consider your peace of mind and your happiness. Don't you deserve to live a fulfilled life? Like, don't you deserve to wake up in the morning and smile at yourself? Just look at yourself in the mirror. Look at the person next to you, which might be you. You might not even have a man next to you. But to wake up happy versus waking up, seeing this man next to you and is like, oh my God, I'm still here. I'm still married to this person. Like, that's not a way that you should feel about your spouse. Marriage has ups and downs. There are times you don't like the person very much. So I'm not talking about those times. But if you are perpetually in this place of unhappiness and you want out, but, well, what are people going to say? And forget these people. They will say something either way. If you die in that marriage, they will say, well, why didn't she walk away? Why did she stay all this time? Please do what's best for you. Okay? And don't say you're doing it for the children. You're not doing them any favors. Trust that. You are not doing them any favors. People often talk about the marriage vows, the marital vows we took, and how you have to uphold them. You know, what about when I said for better, for worse? For better, for worse is referring to the problems that life would throw your way. You know, like maybe somebody gets sick, somebody loses a job, you know, infertility. This is what for better, for worse means. For better, for worse doesn't mean that your spouse gets to be the absolute worst they can to you on purpose, and you should stay there. That's not what that means. Till death do us part does not mean that your spouse has to be the death of you, okay? It means we're going to be together, we're going to love each other till one of us gets called back to glory. That's what that means. It doesn't mean until husband kills wife. That's not what that means. Please don't stay there on account of those vows. And who the hell even came up with those vows? That's another topic. I'm not going to go there today. Speaking of walking away, let me say something that may not be popular opinion. I've said this on social media before, and some people weren't in support of it. While I'm all for women should be allowed to make their choice, you know, what they want to do. Do they want to be stay-at-home wives/moms, or do they want to be career women? Women should be allowed to make their own choices. And I agree, you should be. But I'm going to say this. As a woman, please remember that you're a whole human being, independent of your husband. You were a whole human being before this man came into your life, you know? And you have your own individual destiny. Please, please, please have your own income. Have something that is yours. Have a way of making money, okay? Because here's the thing. When I say this, I've been told, a guy friend has told me that I'm saying the reason why I think a woman should always have an income is because of the experience I had, is because I had a husband I could not depend on. I'm like, no. First of all, when I grew up, both of my parents are medical doctors. They both had jobs. So first of all, that has always been my norm, that a woman goes out and still and has a job. My dad's friends who had wives, and my mom's friends, they had jobs, you know, they were doing something. Okay. So as a woman, please have your own income. Anything could happen tomorrow. It's not necessarily that he will leave you and leave you stranded. It doesn't have to be that. But what if he passes away? What if he loses his income? What if he gets sick? What? There's so many what ifs. Please have your own income. Have your own thing. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is because that's another reason that sometimes a woman is unable to walk away, no matter how badly she wants to, because she cannot afford to fend for herself and her kids if they have kids. You know, I don't mean to say that being a stay-at-home mom is easy. No, that's hard. Okay, I'm home with my kid right now, and that's hard. So I'm not implying at all that that's easy. That is tough work. But I'm saying that for your sanity, for your tomorrow, for your children's tomorrow, have your own thing, have your own something, you know? I'll leave that there. Let me mention a few nuggets, okay? If you are leaving your marriage for the right reasons, there is no way that you will not be happy or happier after you leave your marriage. No man can give you happiness, by the way. Like, that's a thing that you accomplish by yourself. A man, your husband's job is not to make you happy. You are to make yourself happy. That void in your life, if there's something you're like, oh, I'm not happy, I'm not... That your husband is not capable of making you happy. You know, even if he wanted to, which I would think the average husband, all things being considered, wants to make his wife happy, he doesn't have the power to. He can only do so much, you know. As a husband, maybe he can give you a teacup-sized happiness, but your void might be like the size of a bucket, okay? So he will constantly fall short. And it's not because he's not doing enough. It's because you're not doing enough. You need to find your own happiness. Find out the thing that makes you happy, that makes you burst into spontaneous laughter. Find out the thing that gives you fulfillment. Find out the things that you're passionate about. That's not your husband's job. So don't leave your marriage then on account of he doesn't make me happy. Because if you leave him because he doesn't make you happy, all the future men in your life, boyfriends, husbands, you're going to leave all of them because they're not making you happy. Because nobody can make you happy. You need to make yourself happy. Okay? He can add to your happiness, but ultimately he cannot make you happy. The biological clock is a real thing, you know? Some women don't like to talk about it and they feel it's insulting to even bring it up. But it's a real thing. It's biology, okay? If you might be concerned about you don't have any children or you want more children and time is ticking and blah, blah, blah. And those are all valid concerns. But here's the thing. Don't stop yourself from living right now. Don't let your desire for children or more children keep you in the wrong marriage or make you enter the wrong one. I mean, girl, this is 2020. There are options out there, okay? Yes, you probably want to do it, quote, the natural way, you know? Yeah, don't we all? But don't stop living your life right now. Don't end up in a bad marriage or stay in a bad one. It is never, ever, ever worth it, okay? And if you're already divorced or separated, whatever, this would be a good time for you to dust out that old bucket list of yours. Or you don't have a bucket list? No problem. Create one. Write all the crazy things you'd like to do. They might be simple, they might be complicated, they might be big, they might be small. Just write them down. For Christmas last year, my boss at work, my director, actually my boss's boss, she, this beautiful black woman, she gave me a journal for Christmas. That was one of my Christmas gifts last year. And it said girl power and it's pink. And I was like, what to do? So I used it to create a bucket list. I wrote down all these things that I want to do. And I need to go and look at it actually to see which one of them I've done. And I don't know why I tucked it away. I should probably keep it somewhere I can reach it easily so I can review my list and add to it every now and then. But yeah, do that. And every time you get to cross something off, it's going to be so exciting. Like, wow. You know, I did that. I know that for me, since I got divorced, even not necessarily, but since I walked away, since I got separated, everything that I was able to accomplish by myself, it had an extra weight to it. It's like, wow, you know, I did that. Like, Vera girl, you did it. You did that. It had an extra oomph to it, you know? It's like, okay, all right, girl, you got this. You got this. So, as you're listening, please understand that you got this. It's hard. It may be hard right now, but it will pass. Begin to appreciate all the things you couldn't do when you were married, you know, that you can do now. Or all the things you would have, that you wouldn't have been able to do so easily. It could be things like you're traveling. You don't just get up and go. Maybe you have a spouse to talk to, like, hey, boo. I would like to travel to XYZ next week. What do you think about this? At least I hope that's what you were doing. I hope you weren't just getting up and going. But little things like that, do these things. Things that you wouldn't have been able to do before, do them. In my case, when I got paid and I didn't have to budget my money for somebody else's expenses, I was like, oh, so this is what it feels like. It's like, you mean all this money is mine? I don't have to pay X amount for his debt? Oh, okay. All right, Vera. So do that. Enjoy those things. Find ways to make yourself happy. Rediscover yourself. Because when you get married, like I said, it's almost like the two of you blend into one person. At least that's what you're trying to do. And sometimes your individuality gets lost. So rediscover those things, girl. Rediscover them. And these nuggets and everything I said really in this podcast applies whether you're single, never married, or you're divorced or about to be divorced. It applies anyway. Now, please don't rush into a new marriage after your divorce. Take some time to know yourself. This is a mistake people make a lot. Women make a lot. Is that you get divorced and then you run into the next marriage. I think it's a combination of what will people, you know, I'm afraid of being alone. Let people not say that I couldn't remarry or I couldn't hold a home and all these things. And also my biological clock is ticking. And also, you know, let me show him the how much I've moved on and I'm happy with that. Girl, the best revenge is your success. Real success. Not the one that you're imagining. Not the one that you're pretending to have. But the real success, that's the best revenge. And you shouldn't even be compelled. You know, that shouldn't, revenge should not be your motivation. You know, it should just be bringing out the best version of you. Like, date yourself. And when I say date yourself, I'm not even saying just hypothetically. I'm not saying, I'm not even, when I say you should date yourself, I'm not saying you should just do it figuratively, right? I mean, have you treated yourself the way you believe you deserve to be treated? Let me give you an example. One day, true life story. I woke up one morning and I said to myself, I referred to myself as, I was like, hi, baby. Like, I used that term of endearment for myself. You know what happened after I did that? I'll tell you. I burst out crying. Because it was so genuine when I referred to myself as that. You know? And it wasn't pre-planned. It just, that's how I felt when I woke up. I just felt like, this girl, that would be me. You are great. You deserve to be loved. You know? Like, you are awesome. And because I felt that deeply inside of me and I referred to myself as baby, yeah, I burst out crying. And so it was as if I was falling in love, but with myself. It was such a great feeling. You need to get to that place where you look at yourself and you're just like, damn, girl. Get to that place. You look at yourself in the mirror and it's not just about the physical look. You know, it's not just about, oh yeah, girl, you wearing that outfit. It's not just that. It's just looking and loving the person you see. You know, looking at yourself and saying, wow, this girl is a catch. And you're not saying it because you're trying to convince yourself to believe it. Like, you actually believe, you are like hyping yourself because it's true, because you believe the words that are coming out of your mouth. It'll take a process. It's a process, which is why I'm saying, please don't rush into the next marriage. You know, don't rush into getting married to the next person. Take some time, get to know yourself again. Although this podcast, this episode is specifically for women who are divorced and wanting to be happy or going through divorce, let me say something that isn't very popular, that we don't talk about as much. And that is that men have the same concerns as we do in terms of divorce. When a man gets married, he's not doing it and hoping to get divorced either. And our culture does not even permit men to talk about their grievances so much. You know, it's like, you're a man, toughen up, you know. While we are allowed to maybe vent to our friends or society or social media, whatever, when a man does it, he's seen as less of a man. It's like, oh, just shut up and take it like a man, right? But the thing is, some men go through shit in the hands of their wives. You know, let's admit it. Some of you might be listening to this. Some of you women might be listening to this right now. Some of you are abusive. You're abrasive. You're just impossible. Take some time. Ask yourself some difficult questions. Have conversations with yourself. Okay, because that is the real. Some of you are turning the good men into bad men. That is the reality. Okay, like I said, this podcast is for women, but let's also call a spade a spade. Let's acknowledge where we have fallen short. Okay, some women are difficult. Some of you are impossible. You know, you will blame a man for anything and everything. Some men do go through physical, verbal abuse in the hands of their wives. But if they come out and say, my wife hits me, the culture we're from will bust out laughing. Like, is this one even a man? What do you mean a woman hit you? And you were just there, you know? it's normal for a man to hit a woman, and it's like, oh my God, he's terrible, and which he is. If you're hitting your wife, yes, you are terrible. But men actually are also on the receiving end of this, okay? But our culture would not let them talk about their feelings the way we do. But today is not the day we're going to shake that table, okay? We're going to save this for a future episode. I just want you to know, okay, in case I haven't made it clear in everything I've said, I want you to know that you can absolutely be divorced and happy. These two things are not mutually exclusive. Use me as an example. Okay, this is not me pretending to you to be happy. This is not me trying to paint a picture of what isn't. I am in such a better place because I got divorced. So I'm telling you right now that you can absolutely be there, and that whatever fears you have, they are valid. But do what you need to do even while you're free to do it. Okay? If I had stayed, I can't even begin to imagine the mental and emotional skeleton that I would have become today had I not left. I don't even want to think about it. I hope that helps. If you have any other special requests, things you want me to talk about, reach out. Let me know, girl or guy. Let me know. And I did say in the beginning that I had an announcement. So here it is. Today, this episode is actually the last episode of the I Am African podcast. I'm joking. Okay, I'm half joking. It's the last episode of the I Am African podcast for this season, this first season, season one. Because look, mama needs a break, okay? So this is going to be the last episode till I return. The date is yet to be determined, but don't worry, I'm not gone for like 2 months or anything like that. I'm just taking a little break, but I will let you know when I'm coming back, okay? While I may not be releasing new episodes, I'm still very much active. I will still be reaching out to guests. I'm still recording episodes. I'm still editing. I'm still active on social media, especially in the Facebook group. You guys, we're almost 500 members. Yes, 500. Remember when we started and I would be announcing like, oh, yay, we're 20 now. And that was, when did we start? In March. Well, we're in July. And we are almost 500 members. I'm so proud. And it's a super active group. So if you're not there yet, please, what are you waiting for? Join us. So I just look at the show notes and you see the link to our Facebook group. So join us. We're very active in there. Like I said, this is going to be the last episode. It has been such a pleasure. Meanwhile, please reach out, okay? Say hi. I'm on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. My personal Instagram my personal social media is Verastic, V-E-R-A-S-T-I-C. I'm on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and I Am African is also on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. So please, 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 please reach out. So this is not the end. This is not goodbye. This is simply, I'll be right back. And while I'm gone, please subscribe to the monthly notes. I do send out emails. It's about every couple of weeks. Let me say about once or twice a month. So if you check the show notes at the bottom, it says monthly love notes to your email. Please hit that link and it takes you right to the subscription button, subscription page. All you need is first name and email address. That's it. And I promise to not bombard you with emails. I mean, where is the time? Where is the time? So subscribe to that. Let's keep in touch. And don't forget to join us on Facebook. It says I Am African on Facebook right in the show notes at the bottom. Don't forget to leave that review on Apple Podcasts. What else am I telling you that I don't want you to forget? Well, that's it. It's been a pleasure, okay? And this is a solo episode, and my solo episodes are usually not this long. But girl, did I have a lot to say. All right, I'm going to go now. So, talk to you in season two. The I Am African podcast is powered by Verastic. Thank you for letting me be in your ears today. If you have not yet, please subscribe, review, and share this podcast. Do you know any remarkable Africans who should be on the show? People who have compelling stories, or maybe you just have a show idea? please send any show and guest suggestions to iamafrican@verastic.com. That's iamafrican@verastic.com. Follow I Am African Podcast on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And you can find me too at Verastic on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Once again, I am your host, Vera Ezimora. Thank you for listening, and I'll talk to you next week.